What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast, brought to you by collarandelbowbrand.com. You guys can go check out wrestling lifestyle t-shirts, hats, shorts, pants. If you guys check out there, as in check out, you put stuff in your cart and check out, you use our code Hot Tag, one word, you get 10% off your order. Head over there right now. Listen, the Good Brothers just returned on Monday Night Raw. You can catch all their official merchandise on collarandelbowbrand.com. Same with, I believe, Matt Cardona, guys like that. But head over to collarandelbowbrand.com, Hot Tag at checkout, 10% off your order. And a little bit comes back to the Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast to help this thing keep on going. All right, so I'm Chris Francesco.
I prefer to pay full price for myself. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're no problem. I'm Chris Francesco. Joining me, Dean and George. Boys, what's going on? It's been, technically we haven't recorded a show in 2 weeks. So how you guys doing?
Living large.
Absolutely.
All right.
George sporting a new color hairdo, which is always good.
Spoiler alert. I watched this pay-per-view in the quickest fashion I possibly could today.
I don't even know what that means.
You watched
a recap on YouTube?
No, I put it on like x8 fast forward. I watched the three important matches.
I suppose you didn't break your Peacock app.
I watched Andor and then I started doing something else and then it was like 4 o'clock and I was like, fuck, I need to watch this pay-per-view. I completely forgot. And then I didn't start till 6.
All right.
I completely lost track of time today.
So yeah, it was a long weekend and you're still recovering. Mm-hmm. We'll go with that. All right. So last week while I was away, we did drop a newer episode covering No Mercy 2000. This week, we are going 1 year ahead and covering No Mercy 2001. This occurred October 21st, 2001, from the Savas Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Attendance was 15,647 people, paid a live gate of $762,000. This had 325 pay-per-view buy, 25,000 pay-per-view buys. This isn't an Impact pay-per-view. This had 325,000 pay-per-view buys. Let me see. I forget what 2000 did. 2000 No Mercy gave us 550,000 buys. So a pretty steep decline here just a year later, almost to the day. However, the live gate was higher for 2001 No Mercy. So that's good for business, obviously. Boys, we've talked quite a few times about, you know, the years of 2000 and 2001. I mean, other than 2004, which is my favorite wrestling year of all time, 2000 and 2001 are probably 2A and 2B for me from a fan point of view. How about what says you, George? Like, what were you at as a fan in 2000 and 2001?
I mean, 2000, I said last week, I thought it was the best pay-per-view era for WWE. Plus all the shows were really great to watch. You know, the storylines were pretty captivating. Mm-hmm. And then 2001, we had the invasion eras, the invasion storyline. So, you know, there's a lot of people watching that because they wanted to see WCW versus WWF. Obviously, we got like this watered down version, but I mean, it was still drawing people in. So,
yeah, one day we will do an invasion show and kind of discuss how that went, what went wrong, and what could have been. That's something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time. So, we'll have an episode about that in the future. You know, this is in the midst of the invasion angle. Like you said, George Steve Austin was running Power Hungry as a heel leader of the group, feuding with Kurt Angle. They had just met on two straight pay-per-views. So here, the incredibly popular Rob Van Dam at the time is thrown into the mix, making for an interesting triple threat WWF championship match. This is the third No Mercy in history, if not counting the one that was in the UK in 1999. The opening video package consider Steve Austin as a paranoid man, Kurt Angle as a vengeful man, and RVD as a confident man. It sucks that they didn't have Steven Regal's He's a Man theme playing in the background. Mm-hmm.
The 1999 No Mercy was in England?
I believe it was, yeah.
I thought that was like Rebellion that they held over there.
I think it was in the UK. I'll have to check, but I'm pretty sure it's in the UK. Yeah. It even shows RVD holding the WWF title. There's even like a part of the video where it shows Kurt Angle has a WWF title and like he goes, oh, and it falls.
Yeah, it falls off his shoulder.
Oh, it's so funny. The opening pack video packages, at this time, I felt like 2000, 2001, and, you know, like we said, George, you know, 2000, 2001 was like peak pay-per-view era. These video packages in like 2000 and 2001, I don't think can ever be topped with how good they were. And that was David Sahadi, who's just a brilliant human being at that stuff. I always felt like when I watch these pay-per-views and, you know, Peacock's up there, I almost get insulted when it tells me skip intro. I'm like, I ain't skipping.
It's like, how dare you? The audacity, Peacock.
Right, to ask me to skip.
I'm not watching an episode of The Office. I'm not skipping the intro.
Exactly. Saliva's Click Click Boom is a theme song, and it's a song
you're
that
a
I really
fucking
that,
nightmare.
That I really like. I'm a big fan of.
Get the hell out of here.
Our commentary team is the always incredible JR and Paul Heyman, who I've said many times might be my favorite combo of all time. Might
be a damn good one.
Yeah, it was just very too short-lived. So here we go. Right off the bat, we got a good one here. WCW Tag Team Championship, the Hardy Boys versus the Hurricane and Lance Storm. The winners and still WCW Tag Champs for the Hardy Boys in just under 8 minutes. I mean, wow. I mean, that was much more fun than I thought it was going to be going into it. I thought the Hurricane was so good in his role as that oddball, and especially tagging with, you know, Lance Storm. It's like two of the most opposite characters, and it worked. They were entertaining, and, you know, they had fun. I thought it was a very energetic opening contest. The Hardys were, you know, Hardys. They were always really, really good. What were you, George, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the opening match?
I forgot that this match actually happened because when like Lance Storm came out in the Hurricane, I was like, well, I guess he's gone. Like when they came out, I was just like, this is a tag team?
Yeah.
Like this is where they went with that? I was like, all right, let's just kind of see what's really. Like I forgot Ivory was accompanying Lance Storm to the ring.
Me too.
I didn't understand that, but I was like, whatever, I'm here for the ride. And the Hardy Boys did their simple like Hardy Boys shtick, but it was an entertaining match. I'm not gonna say it was a bad match. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, I gave it 3.5 stars. That's where I sat on it. That's what she said. Backstage, Rob Van Dam arrives and William Regal expects him to apologize for hitting Steve Austin with a 5-star frog splash on SmackDown. RVD isn't going to do that clearly. He promises that he isn't on Vince's side either, but he's on his own side. Ooh.
Oh, gosh.
Kane versus Test is our next match here. The winner was Test in about a little over 10 minutes. I'll tell you what, like this was better than I remember it being. Still, you know, nothing to write home about. It was a decent, you know, one of those big hoss battles and was kind of a rare win for an Alliance member. Maybe I was more pissed about it because I thought Kane in 2001 should have dominated the WWF.
How jacked did Kane look in 2001?
Dude, Kane, just a mutant in 01, man.
Just a brick shithouse.
Absolutely. Yeah, I gave this match about 2.25 star. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was a hoss fight, but it was... as you said, it was a lot better than I expected to be, or at the very least a lot better than I remembered. I mean, Test getting a win really wasn't shocking because he was picking up a lot of wins lately. Like he was just kind of the guy on the Alliance who, you know, whenever they need the Alliance to get a quick win, they're like, all right, let's just put Test in the match. Cause Test would always find a way to win. know, whether it was some shady ref shenanigans, or he would just pull that fucking boot out of nowhere and just lay the guy and just lay a fucker out.
You know what he didn't win?
We know.
I was going to say Stephanie's hand in marriage.
You're going to say.
Well, almost.
George is going to say life, but I was going to go with the wrestling angle. Thank you very much.
I see. Backstage, Stone Cold and Deborah have a rather funny segment before Stacey Keibler stops Matt Hardy to ask her about lingerie. He says it's good before Lita comes up and he manages to avoid an awkward moment. God, Stacey Keibler in 2001.
Stacey Keibler anytime.
Chris. Yeah, I know. So here comes the 10-star match of the night. Lingerie match, Stacey Keibler versus Tori Wilson. Your winner in probably the best catch-as-catch-can match of 2001 is Tori Wilson in just over 3 minutes. I give an A for effort.
Greatest technical wrestling match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
Benoit, Bret Hart, whatever.
Right. Whatever.
Don't even talk to me right now. Like,
yeah. I mean, neither one could really wrestle and they were doing it here in lingerie, but you know, damn it. They tried their best to make it as good as, you know, they could. And they accomplished that. I give it 1 star for effort. I mean, in 2001, like, this is just something they usually had to throw on a pay-per-view, I guess. Here we go. Next match is an absolute banger. WWF Intercontinental Championship ladder match. Christian coming in as the champion versus Edge, the winner and new Intercontinental Champion in just over 22 minutes was Edge. George, you texted me about this match, and I had just watched it like an hour prior to you texting me, and I was just like, wow, like, this is, and I'm going to kind of quote you because I felt the same way. This is an October throwaway pay-per-view, and this match went 10 times harder than it really should have been, and it was just amazing. I know I gave this, you know, 4 stars. Kind of elaborate on what you saw in it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I'm sort of watching a match and like they're hitting all these spots, and Edge and Christian have always had great chemistry together just from years of tagging, and they just know each other so well. And I'm sort of watching a match and I'm like this is an October pay-per-view. Like, you don't, yeah, like, guys, you don't need to pull out the A stuff. Like, Survivor Series is next month. Like, save it for that. No.
Yeah.
Just get us, you know, give us something entertaining to get us, you know, through the pay-per-view. But I mean, completely stole the show.
Yeah.
And this was 4 matches in.
Do you think it went a little too long?
No.
No? Okay. I didn't either. Because I read a lot of reviews online where a lot of people were complaining about the length of the match. And I looked at myself like, not once did I like fast forward or even think to look and be like, oh, how long has this match been? I just really enjoyed it. You know, I think it worked. It built towards the bigger spots, had great callbacks to their past matches, and the finish worked perfectly considering their feud and how Christian turned on him originally. Mm-hmm. Dean, were you able to catch any of this ladder match?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I was an Edge fan at this point. I don't think
I've always been an Edge fan. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just thought I've always been a fan of him. I've always, even like when he debuted, I was like, this guy's cool, you know? And I've always liked Christian too. I've always been a fan of Christian.
Yeah, Christian's a great worker.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, this was 2001 and it's 21 years later and both these guys are still wrestling.
I know. Yeah. I know.
And you could tell, like, with wrestlers like Edge and Christian, they're kind of cut from that Shawn Michaels mold of, you know, they're fast and they have some high-flying ability, but they're also technically sound in the ring as well.
Yeah, I agree. Did you like them better watching them as a tag team or as opponents?
As a tag team, I love that tag team.
Same. Me too.
God, same. That was such a great tag team, especially when Christian came out with those ridiculous sunglasses.
Oh God, the goggles are wrapped around. Yeah.
Yes.
Remember Dean at New York Comic Con on Sunday? There was a guy who cosplay as like 2000 Edge,
and no
he did
way.
He did a five yeah. yeah he did a 5-second pose with a guy dressed as Ninja Turtle.
Yeah,
Oh, that brilliant. I wish I would have been there to see that.
Weirdly, wow. They were posing, and I did not pull out my phone and take a picture of it.
Son of a bitch. I took the picture after he walked away. Yeah. I was like, look at the picture of the turtle.
Yeah, I think we were just so in awe at the fact that we're like, is this happening right now? And they were like, oh, yeah. Didn't even think about it.
Oh, that's so cool. Next match here, WWF Tag Team Championship, the Dudley Boys coming in as the tag champs versus the Big Show and Tajiri.
Wait, this was like, did you cover the Hardy Boys match?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's obviously when my computer decided randomly restarted me. So
that's when you fell out.
I skipped that match because I didn't care.
you're not a Hardys guy, so obviously, yeah. This was in an era, 2001, where WWF they had Big Show under contract. So they're just like, you know what? Let's just throw that big idiot in anything we can. And like, it's like, what the hell is he doing with Tajiri here in 2001 against the Dudleys? It was just like, what the hell is this? And you could just tell, like, the crowd liked Tajiri, but did not care about the Big Show.
Nobody's ever cared about the Big Show.
I agree. No one's ever cared.
Like, nobody's just stuck him in the. Nobody's ever been like, yeah, the Big Show when he shows up. It's all like, oh, I guess I can go fucking take a nap now.
Yeah,
I'm out smoking a cigarette like a scumbag.
All right. So the next match is one that I didn't remember that these two ever wrestled each other. Booker T versus The Undertaker. And we actually got the Taker's actual entrance theme song from this era. So I think it's like one of only three or four pay-per-views left on Peacock or the WWE Network that still actually has Taker's theme of that time. So that was really – and I agree with you, Dean. Dean sent a text, like, it kind of threw me off. I'm like, God, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I was totally expecting it to be dubbed over with Dead Man Walking, and it didn't. And I was just like, ugh. Like, it's like, I'm telling you, I fucking hated this song. I hated this. I appreciate American Badass Taker now, 20 years on. But when this was happening, man, I was just like, nah, I don't care about The Undertaker. Like, I just did. I did not care at the time. But now I greatly appreciate his in-ring work with this.
Also, Roland just didn't make sense to me as a theme. It's like, I don't think anybody in Limp Bizkit has ever even looked at a motorcycle, let alone ridden it. this doesn't fit for someone who's called himself the American Badass and you're listening to Limp fucking Bizkit.
Well, I think there was something to do with, because didn't he originally return with American Badass by Kid Rock?
Yes.
Yes. And because I know that is dubbed over in everything. I don't think that exists at all anymore in terms of the network and stuff like that. There had to be some reason he decided to switch to this piece of shit and then clearly get a real theme song.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, in this match here, Taker gets the win at 13 minutes. WCW's top guy, obviously Booker T, has now jobbed to The Rock on two straight pay-per-views and loses here to The Undertaker. You know, this probably...
And Triple H coming up in, about a year or so?
Yep, and Triple H coming up at the, about a year. You know, this kind of tells you how the booking of the Alliance was going. Like, Undertaker sold more for Booker than he did for most others in this era. But, you know, I still don't think the match was that great. I just don't think these two gelled at all. It's just so weird when those WCW guys came over to WWE, when they had matches together, they just didn't look that good. And it's like, and they're, I think it goes into the whole thing where we've always heard that. There is such – Jericho has said this 100 times. There is a WWE style. And it took Booker T a while to get it, I felt. I remember his world title match against The Rock. I think that might have been SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. That might have been the very first good match that Booker had in the WWF at the time. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm missing something, but I just feel like that was the first time where I felt like – he's starting to get it. He gets it now. His first night in, he basically destroys the Golden Goose and breaks the neck of Austin. Not his fault, but it just kind of wrong place at the wrong time. George, were you, go ahead.
I'll say it's also like a bit of a clash of styles, because if you look at that WCW roster from, we'll just say 2000 to 2001, like the most mm-hmm. recent roster that they had, they didn't have a lot of guys who were the size of Taker on that roster, if anybody at all. I don't think anybody on that roster from 2000 to 2001 like cracks, with the exception of Kevin Nash, mm-hmm. cracked like 6'10". So it's such a contrast to styles. Plus, the guys at the power plant, I don't know what they were doing. It's not like anyone, massively talented came at the power plant. So right. It was obviously a training, probably a lack of training somewhere. But Booker is just that good in the ring, where he's like, he'll have like a bad match here or there, but he picked up the style quickly mm-hmm. and basically went on to have like to continue his Hall of Fame career.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Next match here, WCW Championship, one of the big matches here at double main event, The Rock versus Chris Jericho. The winner and shockingly brand new WCW champion is Chris Jericho here in just under 24 minutes. Man, I actually, this was looking back, I honestly, as God is my witness, and I feel bad saying this, I forgot these two even had a singles match to almost main event a pay-per-view for a championship. And when I saw the highlight package of this, the build-up, I'm like, wow, they did a really damn good job at this. A couple of those.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah, those backstage segments between Jericho and Rock were really well done. I mean, it helps when you don't have guys like, Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake back there messing up times. Same with Hogan, brother. But it's like, I actually really liked Rock and Jericho in the ring together.
Did you hear that massive shot that JR took at the booking at the start of the match? When Jericho came out, JR said, this is Jericho's first WCW title opportunity. And he worked for the company from 1996 to 1999. He's like, I don't know what that says about the booking in Atlanta. I was like, damn, the company's gone, JR. You don't need to take shots.
Right. They're just dead. You own them. Excellent stuff, though, from both guys. I loved how Jericho started the match as a guy feuding, with a face, but wasn't a direct heel yet. As the match progressed, he gets more heel-like out of desperation, including mocking the Rock's moves and using a steel chair. Seriously, I really liked how they built to the physical stuff of this. My only major gripe with this match is the involvement of Stephanie McMahon, because I don't think it was necessary. I think it was overdone, and I just think that just blew things out of proportion. Other than that, I think it's a 4 3/4 star match. I have to knock off a quarter star because the involvement of Stephanie was just pointless to me.
Here's my thought on it, Chris. Stephanie's involvement would have made sense if one of them was going to defect over to the Alliance, or if Jericho was going to defect over to the Alliance.
Right.
It didn't happen, so it was just it didn't make any sense. And one of the other things I also didn't really like about this particular match was you had two guys who were on the WWF side fighting for the WCW title. It was just kind of pointless to me. And I said this before in one of the other pay-per-views that we covered from this era, was that when Austin defected over and he was WWF champ, he should have threw down the belt and came back and pulled that big gold and said, this is the real world title that I'm going to recognize. So that way it makes sense that, the leader of the Alliance, the world title he's going to recognize is going to be for the brand that he's representing. Mm-hmm. So like that would have made a little more sense to me, rather than just having, because then you could have just had Jericho and Rock fighting for like the WWF title, since Austin was the champion, you basically have him with the WCW title. Right. It just didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. What actually made me think of it, when I was about to watch the show, I mean, I watched half the show at normal speed, but it kind of what has made me think about this more is like how Jericho is like the ROH champion now, and it's a worthless title. And I got that when I was watching this match. I was just like, this I never liked when they were like George, you just said it, like you had two WWF guys fighting for the WCW title. Like why? It made no sense. At this point, Vince knew he wasn't going to do anything with that company. So why I get the invasion angle, what they were trying to do, but it's like, why is Jericho and Rock without a defection wrestling for this belt? It makes no sense.
It's, and so like, even by that point, even just from that perspective alone, I don't really want to be this guy, and I don't want to try and gatekeep or any of that shit, but can you even call Jericho a WCW champion when the company was gone and you basically just had a belt?
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me
that even really call,
that Jericho was the world champion at two companies after they basically went defunct?
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, because the company was absorbed, because Vince bought it, so WCW was gone. So what's the point of this belt? Like I was saying, Chris, like I know you stepped away, but it was a worthless title.
Yeah, it was. I think it was just another way to get another title belt for a separate show. It was, they wanted the big gold, and Vince said, just call it WCW. We'll throw it to the Alliance. We'll hand it to Triple H.
Like George said there, and I completely agree with him. Like, it was pointless when it was not, when somebody in the Alliance wasn't holding the title. You know what I mean? Like, if The Rock was going to lose, he should have lost to like Booker T or Lance Storm or something.
Or
like
RVD.
That. Yeah, somebody within the Alliance should have beat him.
Like, and maybe what they were attempting with Jericho with this, maybe just kind of looking at it from the other side of the coin, maybe this was testing the waters to see how Jericho would be received as essentially a world champion.
Yeah.
Just to kind of see how the crowd would react to it. That's the only thing I could think of, because it was only a couple months later he was going to win the Undisputed title anyway.
Right. Yeah. Rob, what do you give that out of five stars?
Four and a half.
Okay, yeah, that's why. I'm right around there. Okay. Yeah. Rock seems like he's going to hit Chris Jericho after the match, but instead shakes his hand. Pretty cool moment there with a baby face and a heel. But still, it just pissed me off, the involvement by Stephen McMahon. I just was not a fan. So here we go. Main event time, WWF Championship. Triple threat match, Steve Austin coming in as a champion versus Kurt Angle versus Rob Van Dam. The angle between Steve Austin and RVD was very well done, I thought, even though the role isn't ideal for Austin. There was that added drama of whether or not RVD was working with Vince McMahon. I want to say this, and you guys kind of were texting about it. So I always hated this theme song of Stone Cold. However,
yeah.
I listened to it on YouTube, and it's not that bad. And I want to say this about Austin as a heel right here. I loved it. His little nuances and his little the little things that he did with his facial expressions or his certain movements. Oh my God, it was so good. Like when he's going up the steps to act like he's gonna do a normal get in the ring. Then goes down the steps, gets off of them, and goes towards the cameraman. Goes and does it again, gets off the steps, and flips off somebody in the crowd. And then he gets in the ring, and he keeps before he's like gingerly making his way towards the corner ropes. And he makes the fucking Zach Wheeler, damn it. And he makes a little sudden movement towards RVD, and like looks over him again and then goes up to the turnbuckle. It was the little nuances that that Austin did as a heel that to me, it just, that was his natural character. That's what he was in WCW. Like he did those little things that pissed you off, but were funny at the same time. I love the long goatee look of Austin here. I love the gold bionic redneck jacket and the knee braces. I loved 2001 Austin was probably my favorite Austin. The winner of this match and still champ is Steve Austin in just over 15 minutes. As a main event match, this delivered. The crowd was hot for this. And there was just, you know, the right amount of drama. Again, I just wasn't a big fan. In 2000 and 2001, WWF was the territory of interruptions and people just throwing themselves in matches. I wasn't a big fan at all of the McMahon interaction, similar to the WCW title match. I do like that the match wasn't filled with a bunch of kickouts, and protecting, you know, they protected each guy's finisher, which I thought was very well done. I still gave this match 4 stars. George, how about you?
Yeah, I give about 4 stars. I could have done without the Shane McMahon interference. And then Vince's interference. Well, although the one thing I did like was after Shane pulled out Angle and like shoved him into the turnbuckle, Vince just comes running around the corner of the ring with like a full head of steam with his arms out, and Shane sells a clothesline before Vince even hits him.
Yeah, I had a good laugh at that myself.
Yeah,
I had to rewind it and make sure that was what I saw that happened.
How about you, Dean? What did you think of the main event?
I thought it was like a 4-star match. I thought it was really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, overall, guys, out of a 10, I liked this show more this time around than I did when I first watched it, you know, years ago. The main event, the opener, the Intercontinental title ladder matches are all great, but it's the WCW championship match that, to me, that kind of stole the show here. I really enjoyed Rock and Jericho. You know, I didn't really think, other than the lingerie match and the Big Show match, there was really nothing to skip in this show. And it doesn't really drag too much. I gave this an 8 out of a 10, actually.
I'm at about a 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just because, even like the matches that were entertaining, there was just kind of really no point to them. As much as I enjoyed the tag matches, I just didn't understand the tag opponents, you know, like the teaming of Lance Storm and Hurricane, the teaming of the Big Show and Tajiri.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just scrapped both those matches and just gave us a Hardys and the Dudleys.
I agree.
For double the time.
I agree. Dean, out of 10?
I was going to go about a 7, 7.5. I think it's a really solid pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. So kind of update everybody. There's 2 weeks left of October. Unfortunately, October is one of my favorite months. So before we get into November, which will be Survivor Series month, I'm going to throw in some little fun things over the next 2 weeks. Next week, we are going to do our top 10 favorite professional wrestlers of all time. The following week, we are going to do a hot tag Q&A where I'm going to go to my email and my Twitter and my Facebook. Of the probably like 300 questions that I have yet to get to from people and from listeners. So we're going to do a Q&A show with all three of us the following week.
Cool.
And then we are going to get into Survivor Series coverage for the entire month of November before we take all of December off. So I'm just preparing everybody now. December, there will be not one single show in December because we are going to prep for a long, long Royal Rumble WrestleMania season. So it's going to be a lot of fun as we get into that marathon coming in 2023. All right. So this has been No Mercy 2001. Again, next week, we haven't done this in a couple years. So we're doing the top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time. Looking forward to doing that. See whose list has changed. I know mine has.
George and I actually did this 2 years ago on the Multiverse Movie Podcast. So I'm interested to see if his has changed at all. And I'm pretty sure mine is. Maybe some placements have changed. I don't think my top 10 will ever change, but I'm sure, since doing this podcast, I have new appreciation for some of my favorites.
For sure. All right. That'll be next week, guys. Hot Tag Podcast on Instagram. And we hope you guys have a great rest of your week and weekend. And we'll catch you guys here next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.